The faces Toby made in this episode.
I mean,
I think his inspiration for this was the Jack Nicholson Joker. I swear to God.
I think it was Hannibal Lecter.
It was meant to be Hannibal Lecter because he kept saying
like, hello, Therese.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Right, because her name's not Therese.
It's just Terry. I think it might be Therese. We don't know.
Oh.
Like, I wouldn't just name a child Terry.
That's true.
Like, I think it's short for something.
I wouldn't name a child anything that could be shortened to Terry.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes, where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through. Welcome back.
Welcome.
This is Cuckoo Bananas! A Degrassi : The Next Generation podcast. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I am joined with
Mother Teresa.
Okay.
No, I'm Ezra Parker, and I'm here to say it's fun to rap in a Mother Teresa way.
Okay, all right.
Can we cut that? Can we start over?
I mean, I wasn't gonna, but if you want to redeem yourself, go ahead.
Okay. I'm Ezra.
Okay.
Use whatever you want.
Okay. Thank you.
We're off to a hot start.
Yes, we are off to a hot start. how have we been? We've been on a good train. Train is not the right word.
Yeah, we've been on a good train. It took us across the country.
Bullet train starring Brad Pitt.
Actually, though, we were on a good bullet train. That movie was so fun.
Yeah. What I meant to say was we're on a good, like, roll or whatever.
As far as recording episodes goes?
Yeah. Yeah. We're recording a lot of episodes in a short amount of time. And
we're
it's
back
going well.
In the swing of things.
Kind of. I need to get into the swing of editing, but yeah, we're in the swing of recording.
Yeah.
We just need that pendulum to swing back and let me actually edit and post.
I think, you know, it helps that, like, I'm not out of town a bunch anymore and you're not in the hospital as much. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, we're able to, like, hang out and do stuff. It's fun. It's good.
Yeah. Like, I was supposed to be in the hospital right now, but, you know, my white blood cells love to keep everybody guessing.
Man, your white blood cells get so low. How low do they go? They go under the limit. They go under the limit.
Under the limit for getting chemo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go
How low are they? Get low. But Flo Rida wrote the song "Low" about my white blood cell
count. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the music video is a representation of what's happening in your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. The apple bottom jeans and boots with the fur are actually my red blood cells and bone marrow. What else is there?
Yeah,
veins.
Your hemoglobin is
my hemoglobin.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
We are scientists. We know blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speaking of blood.
Oh, yeah, we watched Degrassi season 3 episode 8, Whisper to a Scream, like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
How you feeling after that episode, honey?
I mean, better than Ellie.
Yeah.
No, I'm feeling okay. I don't like watching that kind of stuff because it hurts and it's bad, but like I'm not queasy about it or anything.
Yeah, I'm so desensitized to this episode because, like I said, I've seen it more than any other episode.
I understand why it would be an episode that airs all the time, but I am also surprised that it's not like that one of their most aired episodes isn't like a fun one.
No, yeah, no.
Yeah.
One of their most episodes is like an after school specialty episode.
Yeah, it's super after school specialty.
Yeah, like we were in the teen drama land last episode, and now we're way back to after school special.
Yeah.
Because it is like, it's like a, like obviously Ellie's self-harm like follows her character for the rest of her character, but this like contained like her starting cutting is like a very contained episode where it like has a clear beginning, middle and end to the arc where like she starts it and then ends it in therapy. And like, so it feels very much like it's very much in the same vein of like Paige's assault.
Yes.
Which they knew writing it because clearly they put Paige and Ellie in the same, like in the parallels. In this
episode. And I mean, Paige is like the right character to to help, even as much as she is like the worst
yeah.
friend at the beginning. She's the right character to help like, exactly. people going through things because she's done it herself, and she is, as much as she loves being a bitch, she's also like really, I think she's a genuinely caring person.
Oh yeah, certainly, yeah. certainly. So yeah, let's get into what was your prediction? I don't remember.
Oh, what was my prediction? I think.
And I haven't edited it yet, so I don't have it fresh in my brain.
I think I predicted that Ellie would start a metal band. Whisper to a Scream.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I think I just made that up right now.
I think you did. But it certainly wasn't cutting.
No, I definitely didn't think of cutting. I think it was something to do with her home life, I think. But mm-hmm. this, I did yeah. not get it right.
We predicted that we would learn more about her home life, which yeah. we certainly do.
Definitely did. Shoot, this was like a full week ago and I don't remember at all.
Well, yeah, I don't. I usually remind you because I've usually edited the episode.
Right, so you have a refresher, but not yeah, this time.
No, not this time.
Well, email us, tell me why I forgot. Tell me why I forgot.
Yeah. yeah, so season 3 episode 8.
Wait, I'm sorry, why is our go-to audience engagement email, like, shouldn't it be DM?
I mean, if they want,
this is a modern podcast.
They know to DM me. They are on Instagram. Like, when I give my Instagram at the end of the episodes, that is like, they know they can DM me there.
I know, I'm making fun of myself for telling them to email.
I don't know.
Should DM.
DM us.
You know what? Find me on AOL Instant Messenger.
at Colorado Avalanche Fan 91.
Do you want to know my actual... Have we
yes,
talked about my...
No, I don't think so.
My first AOL screen name was Me Score Lots.
No, you have told me this.
Which I thought was about hockey and everybody else did not.
Wow, Ezra's just getting laid. We're in the 7th grade. Wild.
Yeah. So yeah, AOL, I am Me Score Lots, and I will probably not get it. I don't think that forwards.
No, I don't think AOL exists anymore.
No, it doesn't.
So we watched Degrassi, The Next Generation, Season 3, Episode 8. Whisper to a Scream. Mm-hmm. Our main player was Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start the episode off learning a lot about Ellie's home life, just like off the bat.
Yeah, she's chilling on a military base.
Mm-hmm. They're about to see her dad off because he's going on a peacekeeping mission.
To Kabul.
And he knows that leaving is going to cause her mom some problems,
mm-hmm.
and he assures her that everything's going to be fine, even though Ellie is very anxious about what's going to happen to her mom when he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of like, what do they mean? And we see this woman. She's terrifying looking. She looks like she could, like, I don't know, man. She looks like the scariest mom ever.
Yeah, I genuinely wouldn't have been surprised if when he leaves, she turns into like a Gorgon.
Yeah.
And just like eats Ellie.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, and like they put her in like a pearl necklace and a cardigan that just look wrong on her somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe like this is just really good costuming, but like...
Yeah, I don't think it's the actress who looks terrible.
No,
it is definitely intentional and it's mm-hmm. well done.
Yeah, it's like somehow they like the cardigan, pearl necklace, like
it just gives Gorgon.
The attempt of like making her look put together looks wrong. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with it. I don't know what.
Yeah.
But as they're waving the men off in their bus, was it a bus?
Yeah, they were on a bus.
Ellie looks at her mom and she goes, "Are you okay?" And then her mom just goes, "Don't make a scene, Eleanor. Just shut up, smile, and wave." And then, and she's like saying this through gritted teeth and like a smile as she's waving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, ah. So Ellie and her mom don't have a great relationship.
It seems like there might be some contention there.
There is some contention. Mm-hmm. And her mom has already established that she hides feelings mm-hmm. and masks them very well.
Mm-hmm.
So then... opening sequence, and then after the opening sequence we have Ashley and Ellie talking about a new fun thing, which is that Ellie's interviewing to get an internship at Ryan's Planet, Caitlin Ryan's like studio reporting thing.
Her she's got like a magazine
and a show.
TV show.
Yeah.
Her media conglomerate.
Yes. Because Caitlin Ryan is a media
boss.
Yeah. and they're talking about it, and they say that Paige is also interviewing, but we know that Ellie is like better
she's
at
the
this
journalist.
Stuff. Yeah, literally, yeah. She's been a journalist since she got here. Yeah. So, like, she should be getting this. and then we get to the B plot, which is that Terry is receiving roses attached to her locker, and Ezra had a fun time with this B plot.
Oh my God, Toby. Toby just keeps interrupting her and being like, hello, Therese.
We're not there yet. Okay. We're not there yet.
Tell me what starts.
What happens is Terry sees a rose taped to her locker, and we find out that someone's been taping roses to her locker, I'm assuming ever since last week's episode, which was the Valentine's episode.
Oh, sure, yeah. Or it's a continuation of
not
the...
Not Valentine's.
No, Love Day.
Love Day episode. Yeah. And I think someone's been putting roses on her locker ever since. And Hazel is like, ooh, that's like your fifth one. Like, what's going to happen? And who do you think it is? And Terry's like, I don't know, but I know who I want it to be.
And then this dude with like long black hair.
Okay,
straight
it's
black
brown.
Hair. Okay, long straight brown hair and big glasses walks by. And I'm like, what? She's into the Unabomber?
His name is Rick.
Okay.
And he is shy. Okay.
Okay, I guess.
He walks by and Terry's like, I know who I want it to be, which is weird considering, I mean, like,
he's shy because he doesn't want anyone to uncover his plots.
I guess. I guess, like, we all have that friend where we're like, what is your taste in men or your taste in women? Like,
okay,
but,
yeah, we all have that friend. We don't all have the Unabomber friend.
But no, I mean, what I'm saying is Terry is popular, okay? Like, she's part of the popular crowd.
Right.
Why is her ideal guy the guy who's too shy to say anything? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she just went from liking Spinner to liking Rick. Come on.
I mean, upgrade. But... But, yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is true that there's always somebody in the friend group who's, you're just like,
what
is
the fuck?
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Rick walks by and that's our introduction to Rick. So this is the day of Ellie's interview, by the way.
Right.
And Paige arrives in Mr. Armstrong's class in very Elle Woods attire. She's wearing a 2-piece, like, blazer skirt. Set with a pink blouse underneath, or the blazer and skirt are gray, and she's like,
she's got glasses.
Not yet.
Oh no. Okay.
Not yet. The glasses come out at lunchtime.
Right.
She comes up and she's like talking to Ellie about the interview, and Ellie's like, yeah. You know, they're going back and forth, and we're thinking Paige is much more confident about her interview than Ellie is, even though Ellie wants and deserves it more. Mr. Armstrong comes in and is like, we're having a pop quiz, and he has them all pass out the quizzes, and Paige, turning around, passes Ellie her quiz, and she goes, break a leg, hun. And that's like a double entendre because she's telling her to break a leg at the quiz and also break a leg at the interview. And Ellie looks down at her pop quiz, and you know that she doesn't know the stuff.
Yeah. This pop quiz. Why is this happening?
It's a pop quiz.
I know, but like...
Why do any pop
quizzes
happen?
It has no place in the plot, really.
Yes, it does.
Well, how so?
The whole... Up until the moment of cutting is all just raising...
Oh, right.
Ellie's...
No, that makes sense.
Just raising her anxiety. Because,
yeah, she takes this quiz and she gets a full-on F.
Big fat F. And she's in the... We cut to lunch where she's... gotten her F, and Marco's complaining because he got a B+, and she's like, shut the fuck up. And he's like, and he's saying something, and she starts to talk about what's going on at home, and he doesn't hear her because Dylan is across the cafeteria disrobing, taking
a sweatshirt off and revealing that he wears t-shirts.
Yeah, revealing a t-shirt from underneath a sweatshirt, and Marco goes, Dio mio. Because if you've forgotten, he's Italian.
and so into Paige's brother.
Yeah. It's crazy. And he gets up and just straight up leaves Ellie before she can confide in him. Ashley and Paige come over and Paige goes, sucks being straight.
Can't be into my brother.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it, that doesn't make any sense because if she's straight, she could be into her brother.
What?
Why it sucks being straight doesn't make sense there.
I think she means sucks to be a straight woman.
Oh.
Like she just says like sucks being straight. But I think the implication is must suck being somebody that Marco doesn't like anymore.
Oh.
At Ellie. I think is the, I'm not entirely sure actually.
That does make sense.
Now that we've dissected it, I'm not sure. But
well, no, because her next line is like, it must be hard to see your ex-boyfriend into my brother.
Yeah.
Okay. That does make sense.
Yeah. And then as they're sitting at lunch, Miss Sauvet is back. We haven't seen her in like a season.
I genuinely didn't remember we had seen her before.
She was
until right now.
She was the school counselor that helped Paige through her assault.
Okay. Okay.
We first see her in Shout, I believe, and then we don't see her much after. And then we this is like her first coming back, and she
welcome
back, Miss Sauvet. We love you.
Aww.
And she comes and gives Ellie and Paige interview prep, and then she casually drops that Ashley has an internship at like a record studio.
Yeah,
like okay,
out of nowhere.
I also don't care, and also Ashley's internship at the record studio has nothing. Like there is no plot that revolves around it.
Ever?
Like it's just a random like.
Just to be like, don't worry, we know you're also here, Ashley, and you're not left out.
I guess, or it's just, I think it's to imply that there's like internship season, I guess, at the school where all the kids are expected to.
It's intern season.
At Degrassi Community School.
At Degrassi Community School, everybody find yourself an intern.
It's weird. It's like, I don't know, but it seems as though everyone, at least all the high achieving kids, are going after these co-ops and internships.
Oh, that's why Spinner's not in this episode.
Yeah, definitely, because he's not a high-achieving kid. Paige and Ellie are going over their interview questions, and Paige goes, or I think, is it interview questions? I don't even really know what's on those sheets.
I think it's, like, information about the about the job and the role, probably.
Yeah, but they have different ones, because Paige goes to Ellie and is like, let me see what yours says.
Mm.
Weird, right? But it's all to... so that Paige can knock grape juice onto Ellie's
shirt. Yeah, I think
it was
intentional by Paige. Like, she didn't really need to see.
Yes, yeah. That makes sense.
Because, she does just straight up knock juice onto to Ellie's shirt, staining it horribly.
And, like, Ellie, who always wears black the one time she's wearing a white shirt, gets
grape juice
on full chest of grape juice.
Uh-huh.
And Ellie's like, oh my God. And she like runs to the bathroom to try and fix it. And Ashley looks at Paige angrily and she's like,
What?
It was an accident.
It was an accident.
But like,
smirk.
Yeah, totally smirking. Oh, this is when Paige pulls out her glasses.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
She pulls out a pair of like cat eye glasses to read.
She puts them on like reading glasses to read it. And Ashley's like, since when do you wear glasses? And she just looks at her and keeps going. It's really funny.
It's wonderful. But yeah, she's so trying to appear smarter so that she can get the co-op. So we cut to Ellie at the interview wearing the world's longest raincoat. Like it goes all the way down to her ankles. Stacey Farber's very short, so like it's very funny.
She's straight up Paddington Bear.
She's wearing a full yellow raincoat all the way down to her ankles, all the way up to her chin. And if anyone looks like a Unabomber here, I think it's Ellie. And Paige exits her interview. It looks like it went well. And Caitlin is like, hey, Ellie, time for your interview. And
Ellie, like, can't say anything. She's so tongue-tied
because
she's so nervous.
Yeah.
And then she goes to, like, wipe her eye for no reason and smudges her makeup.
Yeah, because she's sweating.
She's sweating so hard. And she, like, Caitlin Ryan is like, hey, you can take your coat off if you want. And she's just like,
Right. No, she goes, it's a really funny dismissal because she goes, you can take the coat off. And Ellie goes, right. I loved what you did with Tent City. Like, there's no acknowledgement of the coat right. whatsoever from Ellie's side.
All she has to do is say, like, no, my shirt's stained.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's too hard to see that when you're in the moment.
Exactly. Like, she doesn't. And, like, I think it's really interesting. And this isn't even, like, a from a perspective of someone who might have watched Degrassi before this, like Degrassi High and Degrassi Junior High, mm-hmm. but even just from the perspective of someone who has seen the last two seasons and knows that Caitlin is like a cool lady, mm-hmm. like it's funny to watch a kid who doesn't know this mm-hmm. go in and like be afraid of her,
right?
You know what
right.
I mean? Like we've seen Caitlin be goofy and drunk and mm-hmm. a good friend to Spike and all of that, mm-hmm. but we haven't seen. But like Ellie hasn't seen any of that, so like she thinks that Caitlin is this like big celebrity, and she's like yeah. super nervous around her.
Yeah, and that like you know it's one of those situations where you hear so much never meet your heroes, but this mm-hmm. is one where you meet them and you're like, oh wait, I like you even more.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. But yeah, Caitlin's really cool, and Ellie like admits to her that she's super nervous, and she is like, yeah, it's cool. And so then she just talks to her, and they vibe really well. You mm-hmm. can tell that they vibe because Ellie is like, oh, I want to know what these Tent City activists are doing now. And Caitlin asked her, like, what is like,
yeah, what would you want to work on?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I think it'd be cool to see these, the activists from that article mm-hmm. that you wrote now. And Caitlin's like, well, guess what? That's what I'm working on.
Yeah. We're doing a follow up. And Ellie's like, oh, and it turns out that they vibe. Mm-hmm. So the next day at school, Hazel is encouraging Terry to go for Rick. And this is when Toby comes in.
Right.
So Terry and Hazel are talking, and Toby just comes up and he's like, hello, Therese. And every time she asks him a question, he goes, I don't know. Do I? I don't know. Do you? And he's being really weird, and they're thinking he's being like flirty.
Right. And he asks her, do you know what I'm thinking right now?
Yeah. And they're like, and they're just like, is Toby the secret admirer? Mm-hmm. And that's like Terry's biggest fear.
Because honestly, though, like Toby in this episode is terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Because Jake Goldsby does a lovely job with his facial expressions, but they're so scary.
I genuinely thought like he was this character. This like moment, this episode was the origin of the idea of the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie.
You genuinely thought that?
I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, it was unsettling, and I can only imagine what Terry must have been feeling. I would have gone home like, should I lock my windows?
I need a restraining order stat.
Yeah. Ashley, how do I get a restraining order?
My friend's brother.
So then, oh no, this is the same day. Mm-hmm. I said that the next day at school. It was the same day because.
Oh, she went. It's just later at school?
Yeah, because then Ellie goes home and it's the same day. Right. So Ellie comes home from her interview to her mom passed out on the couch mm-hmm. and she has brought dinner. And this is when we realize, oh, that's what Ellie and her dad were talking about.
Yeah. That mama is passed out drunk.
Yeah, she is passed out on the coach, and Ellie cleans up all of the bottles that are so appropriately labeled vodka.
No brand, just vodka.
So that all the children watching know what these bottles are. Mm-hmm. And I don't condone alcoholism, but at least Ellie's mom is a vodka gal. You know what I mean?
I guess. Vodka sucks.
I love vodka.
Oh, no.
That's my drink of choice.
Really?
Like, there are
Neither
tequila
of us
people.
Drink.
No, yeah. There are tequila people.
Me.
I find tequila disgusting.
Oh, it's so good.
I want to vomit every time I have it.
That's how I feel about vodka.
And I really
because
like
I
vodka.
Drank so much in college, mm-hmm. but now I can't.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel about tequila. I've taken more tequila shots than anything else, and
yeah.
can't stand them.
Yeah, those lock-ins with the vodka bottles. Oh boy.
Oh my God. See, I never did anything that crazy. You've told mm-hmm. me about this.
Yeah. College was a weird time.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to alcoholism.
Again, college was a weird time.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ellie is trying to talk to her mom about her interview and about how she spilled juice on her shirt, but her mom is just not having it. She's not up to bonding. Mm-mm. She's just like, ugh.
The smell of that chicken made me want to drink.
Yeah. She's like, oh, Ellie. And Ellie's like, clearly sad that her mom doesn't feel like connecting.
Lonely. She's so lonely. She's wanted to talk about her problems to so many different people today, mm-hmm. and not been able to.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she goes upstairs and she's clearly like anxious. She's like pacing the floor, mm-hmm. and she sits down to do her math homework because, you know, remember, she's bad at math right now. Mm-hmm. And she hears her mom stumble downstairs into the bathroom and start puking. The puke sounds are rancid. They are rancid. I was like, and I made the choice like a year ago that puke sounds don't make me want to puke. They're in fact so funny. And once I took control of my brain that way, I feel more powerful than ever. However, these puke sounds were awful.
They're so bad. And they're so unrealistic. Like, it sounded like she got stabbed by a sword and, like,
was being gutted. Bleeding
out on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded,
So, Ellie hears this ridiculous...
They use that sound effect in, like, samurai video games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
She committed harikari in the bathroom.
Not harikari. But yeah, Ellie hears this and it startles her because she's already anxious. Mm-hmm. And her her like math stuff falls onto the ground. Mm-hmm. And she sees her protractor and the shiny, sharp tip of the protractor basically glistens in the sunlight.
It calls to her like the One Ring to Gollum.
Yeah. And she's looking at it and she's like, I've seen this kind of stuff in films. That's the one thing that I like. My one criticism, I guess, mm-hmm. is where, like, I mean, I understand like the need that, like, I know what wanting to self-harm feels like. Like, I know, right? But I feel like there needed to be like an idea.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The idea needed to be planted in her brain because I didn't know it was a cutting thing. I when she was like eyeing it and eyeing her arm, I was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, is she going to slit her wrists right now? Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit. That's such a big jump. Mm-hmm. And then she cut sideways on her arm and I was like, oh, she doesn't know how to do it. Oh, good. But then I realized like, no, this is what she meant to do.
Right.
And
right.
It's a different thing than what I thought was happening.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't
suicide. I'm glad
it wasn't full suicide, but like, yeah, it was. Yeah. Where did she get the idea? It doesn't make sense.
And it's not to say that like maybe it's just because at this point in time, cutting was such a hot topic.
That's probably true.
That it probably like we didn't need to see her like see it in media or see it like any other teen show or honestly this teen show, but I feel like any other show would have done a like there's a news report or maybe even thrown in that the guy talking about it at Caitlin's before Ellie.
Right,
because
in
cutting.
A little bit we're gonna see that she's interviewing somebody who helps mm-hmm. people recover from these situations. Yeah, it would have made sense for that to be a seed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like because I feel like most of when I was in school, I'm a little bit younger than these characters. I'm a little bit younger, but when I was in school, most people, it was, I'm cutting, unfortunately, like I saw this in a book or I read this in a book. I saw this mm-hmm. in a show. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately that's kind of how it is. And I don't think we should have shown media in that way. Cause it shouldn't be that, like, it shouldn't be that, we shouldn't be, demonizing media that portrays these things.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, because you could say that like people would get that idea from this episode.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it does.
Which People probably did.
But it does. I do think a seed needed to be planted before she jumped straight to, I should cut myself with my protractor.
Yeah. Even if it's like, I don't know. Like
talking about it at school.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
joking about it. Like if someone was like, oh my God, like, don't be so emo. You're going to start cutting yourself. Mm-hmm. Spinner. Like, right? Like, he would have said something
that.
That
would have been
like
the perfect thing for Spinner to do.
Yeah. Like, if someone, like, because that's kind of, like, that was.
Or even Paige.
Yeah.
Like, Paige is making fun of her so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the math class, she could have dropped a protractor and been like, uh-oh, emo girl's got a blade.
Yeah.
That's too on the nose. Yeah. But yeah. Something. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. but yeah, Ellie picks up the protractor and starts cutting her arm. She makes one cut. And then the next day, she wakes up and notices the scab and is like, is this my life now?
Is this who I am?
Yeah. And
my bleeding heart.
And then they go to school. She goes to school. And Paige is bragging about how well her interview went. Mm-hmm. Sauvé comes into the class. I don't know what class they were in. Probably Armstrong's. Sauvé yeah. comes in and tells them that Ellie got the internship. And Paige is a very sore loser about it. I don't remember what she says. What does she say?
I don't remember her saying anything, honestly.
She says something. Oh, she says...
Yeah. She says, I guess she really did feel bad for you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
like my sabotaging your shirt with grape juice didn't work. Which is like, yeah, I don't understand why.
Did you say sabotaging?
Sabotaging.
Something on the brain.
Yeah, maybe. I don't understand why Paige wanted this internship so bad.
Yeah.
She's definitely more of a like gossip column girly, a mm-hmm. fashion girly. Like,
well, I think. At lunch, when she was putting on the glasses and stuff, they were talking about how it's not an on-camera position, and she's like, well, it could be.
Ah,
so I think she wants to be on TV.
Still. I see.
Because she's wanted to be on TV since season one.
Right. That probably was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ashley later is teasing Terry about Toby's crush. She's mm-hmm. like, well, you're going to be my sister-in-law. Like, and Terry's like, stop. No.
Terry Isaacs doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm. And then Toby pops up out of nowhere and is still being weird.
So creepy.
Like, oh, hello, Therese. And she's like, Toby, are you stalking me? And he's like, I don't know. Am I? And it's like, what is your angle, Tobert?
What could possibly be going on?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that makes sense is that he wants to eat her skin.
Maybe. Yeah. He wants to Hannibal Lecter her. yeah, you were so scared. Like, Toby is like your favorite character.
I mean, not anymore.
Well, up until this point, yeah. Toby is your favorite, one of your favorite
JT's
characters.
My boy.
Yes, but Toby is like second.
Yeah.
And so I could feel you like stiffening and being like, no, are they ruining my
is
boy?
Is Toby now a creep?
Yeah.
I think I said, how is he already a middle-aged creep?
Yeah. And I was like, no, it's not what you think, which maybe like I spoiled the episode a little bit.
No,
but...
it's okay. You made me feel better. I needed good. It.
Because I was like, I can't have you going 22 minutes thinking that Toby is now suddenly just like
I was like so sure he
predator.
Was a middle management sexual predator. Yeah. Like I could already see him balding.
Yeah, yeah. Ellie goes to the co-op
not
and
to
she's
demonize the bald.
I think we should demonize the bald, honestly.
She says with no hair.
Honestly, you want to know something really funny? I fucking forgot that I am bald.
I know, because I was saying not to demonize the bald because you're sitting right next to me. And then you're like, we should.
We should demonize the bald. It's me. I'm the demon. It's me. Hi.
I'm the demon. It's me.
But, Ellie is at the co-op and she's super duper eager. Mm-hmm. And we can tell that this is like her happy place. Like, mm-hmm. Caitlin is like rushing her around and being like, all right, well, this and this and this and this. Here's your office. It's a broom closet. Go.
And then we get this nice montage of her just doing interviews and finding out that there's somebody out there trying to help people who are cutting and then doing more interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just doing great. And
yeah,
Caitlin Ryan, we have a nice shot of Caitlin Ryan over her shoulder smiling approvingly.
Yeah, yeah. And in this montage, she's also on the phone with her dad. and talking to her dad and pretending that everything's okay mm-hmm. with mom, but mom is still
mom's fine.
Passed out.
She just can't come to the phone right now.
Yeah, which like he has to know. There's no way your wife can't come to the phone right now for her deployed husband. Right. Like,
that woman is drinking again.
Yeah, and Ellie's like tucking her in on the couch, and it's so sad. I think the part that like breaks my heart the most mm-hmm. is how much Ellie cares.
Yes,
like she cares so much, and she's like she wants, like she's trying to connect, she's trying to help, she's tucking her mom in. Mm-hmm. She's, and I think there's an episode like later on where she like mentions how she has to like turn her on her side so she doesn't throw up in her sleep. Mm. And it's like so fucking sad.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's good. She's a good daughter.
She's a good daughter. So the next day, or not the next day, a few days later, Ellie gets to school late. mm-hmm. She runs into the office, and the office lady is pruning her plants. There are so many plants at her desk.
She's got a full-on like greenhouse yeah. behind her desk. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know what? They all look exactly the same and aren't interesting.
No. But I think this was
it's
before.
Like, get an orchid, lady.
I think this
know?
Was before plants were like a big thing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we know, like, the world kind of knows plants now. And like, we kind of are like. Like
before 2003, the world didn't know about plants.
What I mean by this is that plants are now mainstream. So many people have plants in their homes.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah. They know, like, and like we're so used to seeing like all the greenery like all over people's houses. Mm-hmm, whereas mm-hmm. I was back in the 90s and early 2000s, there was like one snake plant here and there mm-hmm. in somebody's space. But this lady had like a whole forest just of like floppy plants
yeah.
all around her.
Just like little green vines mm-hmm. popping up all over the place.
But she informs Ellie that if she continues being late like this, she could lose her internship. Mm-hmm. And Ellie's like, you can't be serious. And she's like, serious as a heart attack.
Like, yeah. And then she's like, but fine, and writes the slip and holds it out to Ellie, but doesn't mm-hmm. hold it far enough for Ellie to reach.
Yeah.
So Ellie has to like lean over the desk to reach it.
It's yeah. Like, what a cunt.
Are you kidding me? You work at a school.
Yeah. She's
you have to be nice.
She's an asshole, but I love her for God. It. I wish we had, honestly, Degrassi never gets a fun office lady. We should have had 14 seasons and they never get a fun office lady.
If we ever reboot Degrassi,
we will.
We have to hire the office lady from Baby Bio. What's her name?
I didn't watch
Baby Bio. Oh man, she's so
oh,
funny.
Oh wait, you showed me like one episode.
Oh, she's so funny. She's also in Girls 5 Eva. She's the older lady.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know
oh, she's so good as the office lady. She's mm-hmm. so fucking funny in yeah. Baby Bio. We should do an AP Bio podcast.
No, we shouldn't. We should not.
Honestly, though, her and Patton Oswalt together is a dynamite combination.
Yeah, I can see that.
Patton Oswalt should be the principal of our Degrassi reboot.
Please. Mm-hmm. No, Snake's... Oh, I almost spoiled something.
Snake becomes the office lady?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. DM us if you want Patton Oswalt to be the office lady. No, wait, the principal.
The principal.
Cut that.
No, I'm keeping it.
I don't make mistakes.
Yes, you do. So Ellie, from that interaction, is so anxious, and she goes into the bathroom and is pacing and is like, I need to cut, like now. I need to cut right now. Mm-hmm. And so she takes her protractor out and does a little slicey slice on her arm over the sink, but Paige walks in and mm-hmm. she has to, no pun intended, cut it short. And she's like, oh no. And Paige is like, and then she tries to leave, and Paige is like, ew, Ellie, you're bleeding.
And then Paige sees the protractor in the sink and is mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, you're bleeding from protractor.
On purpose.
Protractor bleeding.
Mm-hmm. And Ellie like, tries to shut her down, and she's like, no, I cut my arm on the thing, and I still don't know what thing she means.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think she means the
the sink or the paper towel dispenser.
The paper towel dispenser.
Something in maybe the mirror.
Do you want to know something absolutely awful?
Yes.
One of my favorite awful true crime stories is a high school girl who was secretly pregnant and gave birth to her baby in her school bathroom. And you want to know what she used to cut the cord?
The paper towel dispenser?
The rusty ass paper towel dispenser. Oh. Disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she like drop the baby in the toilet or what?
I don't remember what she did with the baby afterwards.
Crazy.
Fucking gross.
Ugh.
But yeah. So Ellie alleges that she hit her arm on quote unquote the thing and leaves the bathroom. And but Paige knows better and follows her, which also was Ellie so late that it's lunchtime?
That is confusing. I don't think it was lunchtime, though. I think she just like because there was nobody else outside when she ran outside. Was there?
Or when she ran inside? No.
She went in the bathroom alone.
Mm-hmm.
Paige went to the bathroom from class.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ellie runs outside, and I don't think there was anybody else out there.
There were a bunch of kids outside.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like PE or something.
Maybe. I think it might have been like break, like snack or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did your school have like little break?
No.
We had a little break. In
We had 4 minutes to get from class to class.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We had seven.
Oh, man. What a luxury.
That's crazy. 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Was your school small?
No.
What?
There were some classes where you just had to be like, hey, I'm going to be late every day.
Yeah. Like that was us with The Village. We had our regular.
The movie The Village?
I wish. We had our campus and then they had to expand the campus into these bungalows that were like across the football field.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to walk basically not the football field, like the greenery. So we had to walk across like a soccer field's length of greenery to get to the village. So that was where we would be like, yeah, we're just going to be late probably.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we had a little snack. Like we had like a 10 to 15 minute break between periods 3 and 4.
Hmm. Yeah, no, we did not have that. But maybe that is what's going on here.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it's weird because it's like Ellie was late, but there's no class happening. She went outside. She goes outside to the front, to the tables that are like sitting out front of the school. And Paige follows her and is insisting that she talk to her. And Ellie's like, no, nothing's wrong with me. What are you talking about? Leave me alone like you always do.
Mm-hmm.
To which you said...
She does not leave you alone. She makes fun of you all the time.
Constantly.
She's constantly ribbing you. She's not leaving you alone.
But Paige is like, like, we know she's not going to give up. So we go back to Terry and Ash. I think she's with Ashley or Hazel. I think she's with Hazel at this point.
I think she's with Hazel, yeah.
And Toby comes back. And Terry has had enough of his weird antics. And she's like, did you leave this rose? And he's like, I don't know. Did I? And she, I am the Joker.
Riddle me this. Did I?
And then she crumples.
He's also the Riddler.
The Riddler and the Joker had a baby and it's Toby. She crumples the rose up in front of his face.
And he does not care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. And he's like, oh man, like. You're lame. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, Ashley said, or no, he said something for his science project.
He's doing his science project because Ashley told him that Terry has ESP.
Yeah.
So he's been testing to see if she can read his mind.
Yeah. Or if she can read his mind. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's because remember Terry did the Oracle shit.
Oh,
last season and the season before. Like we have like Terry's running arc of her being a like card reader is so fucking funny. We just keep coming back to it for no reason. Let it go.
Yeah, it wasn't interesting the first time.
No.
And it hasn't been interesting or memorable since.
Yeah.
I completely forgot.
That's why wow. He did it.
Okay.
And so she's like, "Oh, so he's not my secret admirer." And we're like, oh, maybe it could be Rick. And I think she sees Rick somewhere. She's like, maybe it could
What's
be
he doing
Rick
with that bomb.
So then, Paige is sitting in the empty hallway, and Ellie is walking down the empty hallway, and Miss Sauvay is going into her office. And she's like, oh, Paige, we'll talk about your friend in a second. And Ellie stops in her tracks, and she looks over at Paige.
What friend?
Yeah, she looks over at Paige, and Paige looks over at her, and she's like, "Are you talking to her about me? What's why are you doing that?" And
Paige is like, "Because you need help." Mm-hmm.
And Ellie's like, "There's nothing wrong with me." And Paige is like, "No, we need to get you help." And Ellie's
show me
like,
"Your arm."
Well, before this, and I a little bit, but I think I just wanted to highlight my favorite part of this whole interaction is Ellie assuming that Paige is doing this for selfish games. Is her being like, you just want to take the one good thing away from me that I have. And Paige is like, what are you talking about? She's like, you want my co-op job. And it's like, yeah, she does. But not this way. She doesn't want you to lose it because of this. She wants you to get help because you need help. And Paige is like, show me your arm. And Ellie is like, no, there's nothing wrong with me. And Paige insists, show me your arm. And she says it very tenderly. And Ellie finally gives in and reveals that over the course of probably like a week, she has cut all the way up to her shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's brutal to look at.
So many cuts. So much.
Mm-hmm. And Paige is appalled and saddened. So she finally like has gotten Ellie, because Ellie starts crying, right?
Yeah. Ellie is able to acknowledge that it's not a good thing.
Yeah, like, that it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so we, I can't say we cut to, because like, oh,
well, that's the lingo.
We go to Terry, who has been watching her locker for hours after school.
Which, yeah. So she's watching her locker, and then Unabomber comes and puts a red rose right on the locker, and Terry comes out and confronts him, and she's like, I've been watching for hours.
And he's like, oh, you caught me. And Ephraim Ellis, I honestly think Ephraim Ellis is one of the best actors on this show. You'll see why eventually. But
when he blows up the school.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, he does a good job explaining that he's been leaving the roses. But I have to go back to Terry's been watching for hours.
First of all, how many hours? Secondly,
what? You've just been sitting behind that door looking at your locker for hours?
Yes.
Terry, go home.
Clearly, she has nothing better to do. This is her first plot line of all of season 3.
That's true.
And we are on episode 8.
She's on the lacrosse team.
She missed lacrosse practice for this.
She's never played lacrosse.
Ever.
But she's in the opener. I guess if you're getting secret roses from someone, you might want to stalk them and figure out who it is and spend hours doing it. But oh my God.
Yeah. It just seems like a big time suck. Maybe she did her homework while she waited.
I hope so.
I hope so too. But
smart to do your homework before you go home. I am a big advocate of that.
Yeah, me too.
I used to do it in class as soon as it was assigned. Not listen to the lesson.
Yeah.
Just do my homework.
But yeah, Rick is like, you caught me. And he's like, I've been admiring you from afar. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a little bit shy. Sorry about, you know, being weird and leaving the roses. And she's like, oh, it's okay. And then they walk off, and there seem to be a little love spark happening. And it's really cute. And so then we are in Miss Doveva's office, which, by the way, once again, timeline. If Terry's been waiting for hours by her locker, what time is Ellie's therapy with Miss Sauvé?
8 p.m.
I'm like,
that you can see light in the window. So, yeah this is a, I mean, look, continuity is not a huge deal on a show like this, but it was so dark in the hallway for when Terry was meeting Rick.
Yeah.
And then it was so bright in Miss Sauvé's office. This can't be the same day.
I think it was definitely the same day. I think just it was dark in the hallway because the lights were off.
Right. At night, the
It was like dark in the way.
No, but the lights in the hallway aren't off during school hours. There's no way.
It's not. We're not during school hours. We're after school.
Right.
That's why Terry's been waiting for hours.
No, I know. But then, so like, how is it daytime in the Miss Sylvia's office.
It's daytime everywhere, but the lights off in the hallway make a dark hallway.
Oh, is it like Alaska where it just stays bright all the time?
You are being purposely difficult right now.
No.
You know what?
No, I'm not just disagreeing with you.
If I turned the lights off in your office right now, yeah. Your office would be dark.
No.
No, the lights are off in your office right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're currently off and it's bright because the sun is coming in.
But you know what I mean? The hallway is dark in the way that a hallway is dark in the daytime without any lights on. It's probably like 4 p.m., okay?
Okay, fine. Let's move on. But Ellie's just sitting there in the office not saying anything, and Miss Sauvay is sitting there in the
staring
office not writing anything, just eyeing her and mm-hmm. like doing the like come on kind of eyes at her,
until finally her alarm goes off and they are out of time. And Ellie's like, and Ellie, I love Ellie a lot because she cares so much about other people. Mm-hmm. She like, as soon as Miss Sauvay is like, well, your time is up, and Ellie goes, I'm sorry, I wasted your time. And Miss Sauvay is like, no, you didn't waste anything. You'll open up when you're ready. Mm-hmm.
It's just good that you know you need to talk instead of cut, yeah, which is great.
Yeah, and that's the first step. Mm-hmm. And then she tells Ellie. She tells Ellie tomorrow. She mm-hmm. offers tomorrow, and Ellie's like, tomorrow. And then that's where we freeze frame. So yeah, what were your thoughts on this episode?
Sad, big sad episode. And you know what, the saddest part was probably Terry and Rick, like, what the
oh my God.
I'm kidding, but the B plot was like kind of goofy in a way that didn't work for me, and the A plot was super sad.
Well, you were just saying you were just saying last episode that you wanted more silly B plots.
Yes, and I got one.
at what cost?
Yeah, I got one that cost me my respect for Toby.
Yeah. This one's a sad one, and especially now that like I'm so far removed from it, because like mm-hmm. I said, I've seen this episode a million times, but like back when I was a teenager, it was kind of like, oh. Time it, like I would play along with this episode as if I was like seeing the Rocky Horror Picture Show and being like, show me your arm, Ellie. Like I had seen it that many times, but now that I'm so far removed from it and I don't see it like twice a month,
you were seeing it twice a
no,
month.
No, it was probably less than that, but oh, like wow. It certainly felt like every time, because I would get excited to see Degrassi was on mm-hmm. on
and
Teen
then it'd
Nick,
be the same
and it would
episode.
Be the same episode.
Yeah,
and so. But yeah, now that I'm far removed from it, I can definitely like just be like, oh, like it does hurt my heart.
Yeah, it is an episode with a clear message that kids mm-hmm. do need to hear, which is if you yeah. see something, say something, right?
Yes.
And like even if you are, and like with Paige being a bully at first and then being like, nope, I need to have a heart for a second.
Yeah,
I think that's a great message.
It's a lovely message. Mm-hmm. It's a great message. Yeah, and like having been like a teenager who like self-harm was definitely something that I had to deal with as a teenager a little bit. Mm. I was like, I understand where Ellie is like coming from, and it's hard to get people to understand.
Are you comfortable opening up about what that means? Self-harm being a part of your experience?
Yeah, I didn't cut, but I did have a tendency to harm myself physically whenever I would be feeling something large. So, like, if I got into a fight with my parents, I scratched up my arms with my fingernails. Mm. My shoulders, I would scratch my shoulders. And it mm-hmm. just, it's like that kind of just, like, that, like, bubbling anger at your situation that, like, you just can't express any other way. Mm-hmm. And when your parents, like mine would see it and just be like, quit it, like you're not stupid. Mm-hmm. And it would, so it, like that makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. But luckily so far Ellie's mom doesn't know yet. Mm-hmm. Right, she just is in her own selfish world,
right? She's self-harming her own way.
Exactly.
I learned it from you, mom.
Yeah. I'm not gonna spoil anything. Okay. But yeah, and it's like it. I think this episode tackles it so well in the like you said, see something, say something realm, because it's like your friends will need your help. It's not your place to judge. It's just your place to
step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Step up too.
The streets. So where do you see this plot line going with Ellie in the future?
Oh, I'm sure she comes back to this quite a few times. Mm-hmm. She tries to beat it. She can't. I'm sure that her interactions with her mom get worse, not better. Mm-hmm. I imagine that her friendship with Paige doesn't get any stronger, but Paige still tries to help. And what else? Her dad never comes back. Not that he dies in war, but just he never shows up again.
Okay. How about with Terry and Rick?
They definitely blow up a school.
Oh my God.
In Oklahoma, a city. No, I don't know. I don't think that they, they probably date for a bit, but it sounds like Rick is a character who matters in the future just based on the way you're talking about him. So he probably becomes more, relevant than he obviously has been since this is the first time we see him. Mm-hmm. But they probably date for a while.
Okay. And then,
unless he has like ulterior motives for dating Terry.
Like what? What kind of ulterior motives to dating a person would a teenager have? I'm here to steal your money.
I don't know. Maybe she has access to like good TNT or something.
TNT. Oh, I was thinking TNT, like the channel on television.
She has access to TNT, the channel.
I was like,
he's,
I mean,
just,
yeah,
dating,
like,
her for the TNT and TBS.
Yeah, like cable was different back then.
I want to watch pro wrestling. That's on TNT, right?
I'm sure it is.
I've never been a fan.
But okay. What would you rate this episode? On a scale of, what do we do? One to five?
Yeah, I'm very tempted to use a cutting thing for the scale, but I think I won't.
What?
Like, I cut this, but yes. I'm very tempted to use like 3 out of 5 razor blades or something like that, but I'm not going to do it.
Oh, okay,
I'm not going to do it. I would rate this episode, 3.5 out of 5 crushed up roses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would rate this episode, yeah, I would also give it 3 out of 5 Ryan's Planet magazines.
Wow, so you rated it lower than me.
What did you say?
Three and a half.
Yeah, I think it's a 3.
Wow, okay.
Three and a half.
For me, I think this is like more the wheelhouse that Degrassi should be in than the teen drama stuff from the last couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need it to be a beat you over the head with it PSA kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that they handle talking about things like cutting or other things so well that I like when they do it. I take points away from this episode because Toby was just insane.
Yeah.
Like Toby, I wanted a fun B plot for sure. And I think that Rick and Terry could have been a fun B plot without Toby being like, I'm spying on you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Do you want to play a game?
You want to play a game, Therese?
Although, now that I think about it, I would love to see a parody of Saw where Toby is the Saw guy.
Oh, my God. On the little tricycle.
Yeah. And I think, again, I will never give an episode more than 4 stars if JT's not in it.
Yeah. I think that's pretty valid. That's mm-hmm. pretty valid. This episode really does feel more like the, like, first and second season a lot more. Like, even some of the less teen drama-y episodes of this season felt way different from this episode.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
For me,
this felt like a return to form. And I know that you like the other stuff, but so this is like,
I love
back
it all.
To where I think that Degrassi was, when I was getting into it in the first 2 seasons, I was like, oh, I like that this is how they handle these topics so well that that's cool.
Yeah.
And then they got away from that, and I was like, ooh, I think I'm out.
Right.
But I like that they bring it back.
Yeah, there's always, regardless of, like, we're always going to be in some teen drama-y bullshit, but mm-hmm. even when, there's always going to be a little bit of this kind of after-school special, like, we've got a message to say kind mm-hmm. of plot line, like a topical message.
Yeah. I'm kind of shocked to hear myself say that I'm into that because yeah. I definitely didn't think I would be at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming into watching this with you.
I'm happy that you are into that. Cause yeah, I like it all. I love these episodes. I love the more dramatic episodes. I like them all for different reasons, really. Mm-hmm. Like the next episode's going to be fun. I can't remember what the B plot is of the next episode, but the A plot's very fun. Mm-hmm. So going into that, the next episode mm-hmm. is season 3, episode 9, and it is called Against All Odds.
Okay.
I guarantee you won't be able to guess what is happening based okay. on that title. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, just the title is so vague.
That's true. I have a guess formulating though.
Okay. So our main player is Emma. And I'm going to give you since it's such a vague title, I'll give you another hint. It has to do with one Mr. Chris Sharp, as you can see in the thumbnail of the episode.
Right. Okay, I don't know who Chris Sharp is, but...
You do.
Yeah, all right.
You know who Chris is. He's the bucket hat black boy with the weird accent.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, my prediction is that Emma gets into online poker.
Okay.
And develops a serious gambling addiction.
Okay.
And she gambles away all of Snake's chemo money.
Oh, my God. Chemo money.
Uh-huh. And then she has to win a high-stakes poker tournament to get it back so he can survive.
Okay. I understand that was your joke prediction. Uh-huh. But would you believe that we do get gambling problems in the next season or so?
I would, yeah.
I think it's next season. I might be wrong. It could be season 5. But okay. And then gambling is... Literally, me and Daniel joke about this all the time. Gambling is like a plot line where they're just kind of like, well, we have to fill something for somebody. Let's give them a gambling problem. Every few seasons, someone has a gambling problem. That's and so it's funny. Silly. It's very silly.
This would be the perfect time for one.
It would be.
Emma getting into gambling would be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see that for her.
We were just talking about how she hasn't had a major plot line in this season besides finding her dad.
Right.
Since finding her dad. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the very first episode of the season, and then every Emma plotline after is Snake related or mm-hmm. Manny related.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's our main player in this next episode.
Okay. Can you give me one more hint for my real prediction?
Sure.
Because I don't know anything about Chris Sharp.
Yes. Do you want information on Chris Sharp or do you want information on another key player that might inform what you think this plot might be?
Okay, give me the other key player.
Okay, we've got Emma, we've got Chris Sharp, we've got Manny.
Okay, so I think Manny gets it. Manny is like, okay, well, I can't have Craig. I like this Chris Sharp guy.
Okay.
And then it turns out that Chris Sharp and Emma have been hooking up.
Okay.
No, this is not the joke prediction. It turns out that Chris is into Emma,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a weird love triangle situation.
It's like a reverse of what happened with Emma and Craig and Manny in season 2.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
Okay. That's a good guess.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Is it everything? Have we done everything?
I think so.
Okay, well, based on Degrassi, The Next Generation... Season 3, episode 8, Whisper, Whisper, Scream. Are you a Degrassi fan yet?
Well, I think this was back to where I like to see this show be.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me hope that it's not devolving into pure teen drama stupidity like mm-hmm. it was in the last couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cautiously optimistic that it can get back on track for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, my question to you is this.
Mm-hmm.
I already asked you a question, but here's my follow-up question on that.
Go for it.
Is all teen sexuality,
mm-hmm.
do you think, the teen drama-y stuff of the show?
No. What I mean by that is mm-hmm. These kinds of episodes where they handle heavy topics super well are what makes this show different to me than something like Elite or Pretty Little Liars, where
oh, we never get to Elite territory or Pretty Little Liars.
Sure,
territory.
Sure. No, I'm sure not. But like those shows do the crazy teen like romance drama stuff so well,
right,
in their own way that like this doesn't. I don't think that Degrassi is trying to do that in the first place, but also like I don't think that they are very interesting.
No,
like because there's just so many shows that do that differently and do it bigger. Now that like Degrassi's version of it just doesn't interest me.
Right, right. Like there's always going to be an undercurrent of education, I think, in the Degrassi universe, even when it gets like, even when we get the Craig Manny Ashley love triangle bullshit, there's always going to be like a weird educational undercurrent to
it. That's good. Well, I don't know. I just think like what makes Degrassi unique and interesting to me is episodes like this one, not episodes like the last one.
Yes, certainly. Certainly. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. Now, do you have a question for me?
No. Just kidding.
All right. Well, then.
Just kidding. After hearing that I like this episode more than last episode and putting up with my Unabomber jokes, et cetera, do you still love me?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay. Where can the people find you on the socials?
You can find me on Instagram at Ezra Partier, TikTok, Twitter at Ezra Parter. My sketch groups are Bounce House and Public Breakup. They are at Bounce House, at Public Breakup on the social media as well. We have shows around LA all the time. And the Daily Misinformer is my biggest project. I'd love for you to follow that if you don't already. At Daily Misinformer on TikTok, please.
You can follow me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, or email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com.
Also, I'm really thirsty for DMs to this about the show, so please, I don't know why this episode I care so much, and other episodes I just said email me, but please DM the show. Tell me I'm doing a good job.
Just let Ezra know that you like him.
I need your approval.
He asked me last night if people are listening to these. The love of
my girlfriend
episodes.
Is not enough.
As it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm excited to do the next episode. And
we'll be back in your ears when you put us in there next.
Yeah.
That's what used to be my sign off on my first podcast.
That's the worst thing I've ever
heard.
No,
isn't it great?
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.